May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. I love that hymn. We really should be having communion right now. But, you know, it's full of crazy things. The last become the first, the table. Christians say the most ridiculous things, don't you think? I mean, really, when you get right down to it, we say crazy stuff. Crazy stuff like, love your enemies. I don't know if Jesus really understands what an enemy is, because you're not supposed to love them. And turn the other cheek. And what, just let people keep insulting you and slapping you? And did you hear what Paul told the Ephesians in today's letter? He said, let us speak truth to our neighbors. Oh, that's working so well with Saudi Arabia. That's fantastic. Be angry, but do not sin. So I can get upset, become furious, but no retaliatory tariffs. I can't do that. Thieves must give up stealing. Well, duh. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands. What? You mean you want me to hire a thief? I don't think so. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths. We have whole media companies and networks devoted to evil talk. We can't just stop that. Put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So I guess I have to give up Twitter and Facebook now completely. And no more watching the news. We're done. Seriously, how can we imagine that we can speak up for the marginalized without those in power taking offense and becoming angry? How is it that we could imagine that we could speak for this group without upsetting that group? I mean, in 2018, is there really a place where Buckabeer Bob and Lefty Lucy are going to go to the Taste of Danforth together? Is there a time when the rhetoric will calm down between pro-gun and anti-gun? Black lives matter, all lives matter. When patriotism isn't celebrated at the expense of others, and we can disagree without bitterness and wrath, malice and slander being the way we tweet and express ourselves? Forgive, Paul says. That is really naive, I say. But then, if Paul were speaking to me, and we may not be speaking right now because of the nasty things I just said, but if he were speaking to me, he might remind me that he didn't just say forgive, as you would say to a child who's fighting with a classmate. He said, forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Is that different? In the gospel today, Jesus said another crazy thing. Jesus said that he's the bread of life. Believing in him means that you will never be hungry or thirsty. That's crazy. I am the living bread, he said. And we often say that. We refer to Jesus as the living bread. We reference it when we have communion. This is my body broken for you. Jesus is bread. Really. Christians say the craziest things. Jesus. As bread. Really. What do we mean when we talk about Jesus as bread? What are we saying? For me, I think everyone has bread, right? Every culture has bread. Challah, tortilla, baguette, roti, rye, sourdough, wheat, rice, corn, gluten, gluten-free. Every culture has bread somehow. Each one a little different, but each one a staple, a basic food, one that holds a meal together. I don't know about your family, but in lots of families I know, there isn't a meal that doesn't have a loaf of bread, wham, at the table. It can be found in the wealthiest woman's diet or the poorest man's only meal. So is it crazy to say that Jesus is for everyone? Rich or poor? North, south, east, west? Nobody gets to decide what Jesus is for anyone else? You can't tell me your baguette is better than my roti, right? As we talk about Jesus and about God, about our culture, about our family, our own experiences, these become reflected in our expressions and relationship with God. Is that crazy to imagine? That we could all talk about God differently and yet still get what we need? Crazy talk. When I was a child, I was fortunate enough to know four of my great-grandparents. All of them wonderful people. I was really lucky to know them. I was especially lucky to have my grandma Wright. The woman could cook anything at any time and usually did, and could feed hundreds of people. She usually did. But best of all, my grandma made bread. Wonderful bread. Hot bread. Mushy yet crusty. Gorgeous bread. And even better, she would make it just for me. Toward the end of her life, when she was not supposed to bake or even stand long enough to make bread, if I was going up to Manitoulin, she would bake bread for me. So when I got there, I arrived, and it was hot, and it was gorgeous. And if I close my eyes right now, I can smell it. The dough, the yeast, the sweetness. It's warm, and it's comforting. It's the smell of big noontime dinners and late night snacks. It's the smell of hospitality, of welcoming. There's always room for one more at my grandma's table. Bread is the smell of love. And honestly, I am so privileged and so fortunate. I have had some magnificent meals in my life. I've tasted some fabulous dishes. I've smelled some incredible things. I've enjoyed the bouquet of fine wines, but nothing, absolutely nothing compares to the smell of baking bread. Nothing. Jesus, the living bread. Are we talking about Jesus as welcoming and inviting and loving? Are we invited in this moment to imagine God as family, as home even? Oh, is that crazy? I don't know if we have any bakers here, but I've been known to bake bread. I love bread. I love to mix. I love to knead. I love to pound the bread. I really like pounding the bread some days. I love to watch it rise and pound it again. I just love the feel of it in my hands. I love the smell of the dough. But here's the thing that I find remarkable. And those of you who bake bread will already know this. Those of you who don't, ask somebody who bakes bread or read a recipe. I don't have a recipe for one loaf of bread. I don't know how to make bread for one, outside of a bread maker, and bread makers don't count, that's cheating. Every recipe that I've ever tried, I always end up with at least four loaves of bread. So the thing is that when I bake bread, I have to share. I mean, I've had moments when I didn't want to share because, you know, in my heart, I'm greedy. I've wanted to keep the bread all to myself. And of course, you can freeze it, but it's never as good, you know, after the thaw. Fresh bread, no, that's not the same. It's not fresh and springy. So I'll bag it, and I'll hide it. And I'll eat the first. I'll even eat the second loaf as fast as I can, sometimes in the same day. By the time I get to the fourth loaf, however, I gotta tell you, it's dry and stale. It's really good for nothing but maybe a little stuffing. Is it crazy to talk about Jesus that way? To say that we need to share the story, the gospel, or at least the lessons, the love, the example. Or else we too can become dry and stale and good for little more than stuffing. So, Jesus is for everyone. Jesus, I know another one too. You ever have one of those moments you make that great big meal and everybody comes and you wreck the potatoes? Or something happened that just wasn't supposed to happen? Oh my gosh, I really wanted to impress people. So you put out bread because it fills it up. You ever had that moment? You've gone to a restaurant, you're trying to be very erudite, you might even be trying to impress somebody, like let's say it was a date, and you realize suddenly that you don't have enough money to pay for this kind of restaurant, so you eat breadsticks. Suddenly, salad and breadsticks will make a meal while your date eats steak and lobster, because that's what you do. Maybe it's just me. But I've also found at times that bread has made up for my deficiencies, and that bread has filled the hole, the gap that I have just run into. Didn't expect it to happen, but it has, and bread fills it. So again, Jesus is for everyone. Jesus can fill in and make up our deficiencies. Jesus is welcoming and inviting. Jesus and God can't be hoarded. God demands that we share, that we act out of abundance, not scarcity. Remember, four loaves. None of us should eat four loaves. How does that get us speaking truth to our neighbors? How does that get us putting away bitterness and wrath and becoming kind to one another? When Jesus gave his little bread speech, the locals, they didn't get it. And people began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread come down from heaven." And they're saying, "Is not this Jesus? Seriously, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'? We know him. There he is. Look at him." They could not imagine the Jesus they knew being holy and being divine. They just couldn't see it. And that's the key for me right there. You see, I can see the holy and the divine in Jesus. But it's a lot harder to see it in my neighbors. After all, I know them pretty well. I know them, they know me. We're not all that holy and divine, thank you very much. I listen to people on the other side of the argument, whatever the argument may be, and I can't imagine them as being holy and divine, because frankly, as I listen to them, they're idiots. When Jesus says, "Believe in me," he's not saying, "Pick me like a singer on America's Got Talent," or "Cheer for the team on Amazing Race Canada." He's not saying, "Believe that I'm special." He's not saying, "Believe that I'm Superman in a world of mortals." He's not even saying that I'm better than all the other religious figures in the world. He's saying, "Believe in me, that I am proof of God's presence in your fleshy, earthy, real life. Here, where you live. I'm proof that the holy can be found in the simple, in a stable, at a table with sinners and the marginalized, in bread." He's saying patiently and lovingly, because we just don't seem to get it, "God is here, right now, in your life, all around you. Not in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, not in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, here, right now, in Don Mills, 2018, this moment, right now, with you. God is here in your life. Believe in me," he says, "and know that you're not alone in this life. God is here." That's the fundamental statement we make about Jesus, that Jesus reveals God, not as a magic trick, but to open our eyes and recognize the divine all around us. And when you do that, when you believe that, you can afford to listen to the other guy. You're not alone. He's not an idiot. You can dare to speak your mind and your heart because you're not alone. God is here. You can afford to be generous because there is more. You can afford to live with less because you're loved and you're not judged by a collection of things. This is how we forgive, as God forgives us in Christ. We recognize that we are all connected to the holy, to the divine, all of us. And we forgive by seeing the holy, by seeing God all around us, and especially in each other. I mean, just as Jesus breaks down the walls and the barriers between rich and poor, men and women, holy and profane, human and divine, you and me, we forgive. We let go of bitterness and we embrace kindness when we break down barriers, when we see each other as children of the same God. Doesn't mean we're going to agree with one another. Not a chance. Doesn't mean that we will continue in abusive relationships, personal or political. But it does mean that we will engage with each other without the hatred, without the dismissiveness that comes when we not only ignore the humanity of the other, but also the divinity, the holiness of the other. God is with us and them. God is here. That's what believing in Jesus means. It means believe that God is present and active in our lives, right here, right now. And that is crazy talk. Absolutely. Christians say the craziest things. But imagine a world in which we didn't just say the craziest things, but we did them too. God has imagined it. Jesus has revealed it. Some call it the kingdom of God. I call it our hope. I call it our ministry. It's what we're meant to do. And I thank God for it every day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, open our eyes, open our hearts to each other. Not that we might suddenly all be in agreement, but that we might love one another. Let us be passionate, but not hate-filled. Let us be patient without being foolish. And let us together discover your will, the best way to be together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.